federal law we could pass to do anything about that picture in today's time. Well, there isn't. I mean, what law can you pass that can do anything about police power in the community of Birmingham? There's nothing we can do. There's no federal law that's involved. There's no federal statute. There's no federal law we can pass. Now, the fact of the matter is that Birmingham is in the worst shape of any city in the United States. It's been that way for a year and a half. We've been working. We've got a new mayor who was elected, probably as a result of the efforts of this administration, working with the press to get those papers down there, working with the steel companies to try to get them to change that attitude. The new mayor was elected, was coming in May 18th, was elected by the Negroes. He was a minority of the white vote. But it's being challenged in the Supreme Court. He doesn't take office. The Supreme Court decision is reached on May 18th. As it is today, Bo-Connor's in charge. This is just what Bo-Connor wants. I personally think that I'm in charge down there. I will wait until the new mayor comes in. That's the only hope we're going to have now. It's another bad day down there. Prisons are full. I mean, Bo-Connor just eats this up. What they want is, what the governor wants is to put the National Guard in there. That's what's going to happen in a day or two. I would have, if I'd been in charge of the operation, and I think this was a substantial view, I would have waited for the new mayor here. That's the best hope of Birmingham. That's what all this effort for years has been on. May 18th, I think it's terrible, the picture in the paper. The fact of the matter is, that's just what Connor wants. As I say, Birmingham is the worst city in the South, and they have done nothing for the Negroes in that community, so it's an intolerable situation. There's no argument about it. I'm not saying anybody ought to be patient. And this may be the only way these things come to a head, but I do think there is a chance, which this new mayor represents, in about a week. Now, that is not what I think is going to happen. It's going to get much worse. We're going to end up with the National Guard in there and all sorts of trouble. But let me just say what I think about what we're trying to do. We are trying to do and have it in our economy, which hasn't been done really before. And that is, in a relatively good time of prosperity, with a $9 billion deficit, to try to get a tax cut in order to provide a stimulation to the economy. This kind of Keynesian economy has been talked about for a good many years, but it hasn't been tried. We are trying. I used to read last year that the trouble is going to be enough deficit. Well, now we got a $9 billion one. On top of that, we're putting what we hope is a $10 billion tax cut, which would mean $30 billion into the economy, and I think that's going to have an effective, that's going to have a stimulating effect on the economy. Now, I opposed to that policy the previous monetary and fiscal policy, which helped bring on the recession of 58, which regarded inflation as the major enemy at a time when deflation was really getting to be the problem, which now talks about a $10 billion cut in our expenditure level. It seems to me that we're setting a very clear contrast to that policy. Anyway, I'm having a good deal of difficulty about it. Now, in addition to that, we've recommended, I think, the best education program which has been sent to the Congress. It's an omnibus bill. It includes not only aid for higher education and scholarships, but it also includes aid for secondary education, teacher salaries, and all the rest. It's a tremendous problem getting it through because you've got a rules committee, which includes five Republicans who won't vote for it. Two Dixiecrats, Judge Smith and Coleman, won't vote for it. That's seven. Therefore, you have to get every other vote. And you can't get Delaney to vote. He can vote for the higher education, but he won't vote for the other. So that we passed the education bill last year in the Senate. We passed it out of the House committee. It found it in the Rules Committee because we couldn't get Delaney. Now, I don't know how we can get Jimmy Delaney because what he wants, I can't support. I can't get any of the Republicans, I can't get Smith and Coleman. Now you tell me where I'm going to get the vote for that. Now where's the ADA yet? Well, you can't change Jimmy Lane. 65% of the people in his district go to parochial schools. He loves it. He loves it. All right, now we got another bill, which is beginning tomorrow, the youth conservation bill, which you were hungry for. And we started up appropriations, $100 million. I got a letter yesterday, Carl Elliott of Alabama. We've been counting on. We won't get the five Republicans. We won't get Smith and Coleman. Carl Elliott tells me he can't go for it now because the integration issue, he's been in Alabama. He ran eighth last year. The Republicans are running against him. He's the most liberal. They're going to knock him off. Alabama, strangely enough, has one of the best congressional delegations in the Congress. But with Albert Raines and Carl Elliott, Bob Jones, and two good senators. But we now have got trouble getting that out of the committee. But the programs which we've set up and we moved up on Sutter, I don't know how we're going to get around the education one. The fact of the matter is, even some of our best friends aren't much help. The only hope, in my opinion, to get an education bill is to have an omnibus bill come out of the way, which means out of the education. But I think on education, on taxes, on returning housing, food stamps, and all the others, we've set up a program which I think would, if enacted, represent progress. In addition, in our policy abroad, Latin America, in our actions on Cuba, and the, I think the restraint, which is wise, against a good deal of provocation, the efforts we're making in Europe against the diffusion, dispersion of nuclear weapons, the efforts we're making in the trade bill to provide closer economic and monetary ties with Western Europe, the efforts we're making in Laos, which we've been trying to do to work out in a, as opposed to the policy before, which led us into the valley by supporting Phumi and a right-wing government, which has caused a good deal of difficulty. Seems to me all these things that represent important steps forward. Now, they're not going to be at the pace that you want them. The fact of the matter is the ADA can't get us any votes. The votes we need are the marginal votes, which are very difficult to get. It's Carl Elliott on the youth bill. It's Jimmy Lane in the education bill. The ADA can't get them. We've got all the votes that you can get us, and that the AFL-CIO can get us. But together, they're about 180. Now, where are you going to get the other 20 votes? The other 20 votes are tough to get. They're tough to get. And the fact of the matter is, in January 1961, I was just in an office at the height of my power as a honeymoon, with Sam Rayburn at the height of his power. We got the most minuscule reform of the Rules Committee by 5 votes. And with Sam Rayburn going down to the well of the House and asking for it. So it's very, the Senate's easy. We can get them out on the floor of the Senate. We can pass everything we need in the Senate. Education, we'll get them. And with the exception of civil rights, which, the House is easy. Senate is difficult. We can get everything we want by the Senate. It's much tougher in the House. And we're going to make some progress. I think we're going to get a lot of these things by. And I'm hopeful that if we pursue the right monetary and fiscal policy, that instead of having the recession which we had in 58 and 60, that we can sustain this and improve this rate of economic growth, which is our central domestic matter, combined with the question, of course, of civil rights. Now, we've worked as hard as we possibly could, given the laws we have. We sent some new ones up this year, which were passed, particularly on voting. What's made the difference and gives any hope at all in Birmingham is the fact of that election. That's what's going to make these fellows in the final analysis. We can have lawsuits in every community down there, but it's what's happening in Birmingham today. Final analysis, when we get enough Negroes registered, then they're going to be able to say that you're going to have a situation like you're beginning to get in Georgia. That and the redistricting of the Supreme Court. So I think we're making some progress. And I think it's helpful to keep the heat, because all we get is from the right. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce comes here all week and just sprays everything we're trying to do as opposed to it. So I think it's very good to come here and point out the necessity for action on a variety of fronts. There are a lot of problems, or Gaylord Nelson said last night, the important problem to face domestically is conservation. Well, I don't think it's the most important, but I think it's important. What we're trying to do on conservation, I think, is what Stuart Udall's trying to do is important. So all I say is that we want some ideas on how we can improve. I think you have to keep urging it forward, because I think the reactionary forces are extremely powerful. They control most of the press. They control the every congressman, unfortunately, just sees businessmen, just talks to Rotary Clubs, just tells me that the great issue is spending. It isn't at all. So that I think it's very helpful to help you keep this pressure and heat on, even though we would like to occasionally have a kind of work. That's the way we feel that.
Don't you like to have us make you feel more in the middle by our being a little
bit? Yeah, John Andrew said the other day, he said it's nice to be, it's a good theory, except when you're in the middle getting all this. I want to read to you a couple of things that Arthur Schlesinger got up for me, just written. Walter Lipp, the come to a period of discouragement after a few months of buoy and hope. Pollyanna's silence and Cassandra's doing all the talking. Within the administration itself, there is a notable loss of self-confidence, which is reflected in leadership that is hesitant and confused. And the New Republic says, liberals are a sad lot, shivering in the wintry wind. They do believe that the president is up and down badly. I do not think that anything he might do now to restore their confidence again. Now, this is all written in 35 by Franklin Roosevelt. And she has to go. Is that labor leaders on the whole, or most members,
unanimously right. The ADA has been right.
You take your record for 15 years, so I don't, I'm not a bit critical. I think if you put your record, and I said this last night, I think Time would say that in all these matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, the ADA has been right. And unless you push your head, we won't know where we won't have any place to go in the future. But, so I don't question at all. The only thing is, I think that we ought to have the proposal more precise. I mean, if for example, on civil rights, we set out a proposal on civil rights, which is, we don't want, in other words, the ADA like all these people about Cuba. Let's do something about Cuba, but they don't ever say what it is. If you have some proposal of what we can do usefully, I mean, I'm a bit more conscious of what a disaster that picture in the paper is, not just in the United States, but all around the world. And Morrow must be, I mean, he must be home in bed, because that's a disaster. Well, that's disaster. So if the ADA, if we wants us to do some things differently, let's have it precisely. They've got a proposal on civil rights that represents a chance to get progress, and really we could possibly have a hope on. I'd like to hear that. If you don't think our tax bill is right, I'd like to hear that. But I think at least acknowledge the fact that what we are trying to do in the fiscal field, really, it hasn't been done really since the 30s. And even in the 30s, they didn't do it, except in, even in 37, they kept talking about the duties of a balanced budget. We at least abandoned all that and tried to do something which will, I think, help explain why the economy is not going into a downturn. I'm convinced that Republicans have been in control based on their action in 58-60, we would have had a downturn at the end of 62. Because you either would have had interest rates higher up because of the balance of payment, or you would have tried to submit a balanced budget this year, which would have helped bring on a decline. Now, if the ADA has any proposals in education or in conservation or in health, then I think if we could get them as specific as possible, then I think it would be very useful.
Mr. President, do you feel that frequent similar programs such as Fireside Chat could help you get any additional votes in Congress that you need?
Well, I, you know, in the first place, think this is due to certain things which have happened where we felt that the administration could do something, such as Vice President Johnson's ruling on the continuation of the Senate's continuing body, and other things which we felt were in the purview of the administration and might not be...
Well, I agree with that, but what else?
Well, the second thing, I guess, is also this question of the image of leadership, which is felt you could take in many areas. Of course, it's easy for us to criticize.
Well, no, what's happened? What is it?
You could take in many areas a stronger role, whether it's fireside chats or other things, in the moral suasion, such as the civil rights issue in the South.
Well, now, wait, now let me just say on the civil rights issue, we have done not enough because the situation is so desperate, but we have shoved and pushed, and the Department of Justice is there's nothing that my brother's given more time to. And I quite agree, Byron Negro, I'd be awfully sore. I had some newspaper man in here telling me about it, that outrageous in Birmingham. I said, why are you over there eating at the Metropolitan Club every day? I mean, you talk about Birmingham, you're up here at the Metropolitan Club. Some of our distinguished commentators every day lunch. My father wouldn't even let me go in the bathroom. So now, he said, well, we want to work from the inside. I said, well, your one contribution has been now you won't let one in the bathroom. Most of your columnists that you read every day, they're all members of the Metropolitan Club. So, I don't know what the difference really is, but I just want to agree. But so, I think that we have worked hard on civil rights. I think it's a national crisis, and I think the Negro leadership is divided, and I think very dangerous. It isn't because of any political reluctance. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I doubt if the Democratic Party carries any more than us two, maybe three southern states. Pour it in Oxford, we pour it in any place else. We take all the legal cases, which are the remedies. We can't put marshes in Birmingham, Alabama, because there's no federal. You're a lawyer, I assume. All right. I went through it all this morning with the Department of Justice. Now, let's take some of the things that we are trying to do. On the test ban, we've been working as hard as we possibly could for a year. That's been a year and a half, in spite of the Soviet breach. Or in spite of the attacks, we've lowered steadily the number of tests. Soviet Union finally came through, so they take two or three. We've gone to seven, dedicated to go to six, possibly even one more now. We've, as I say, have had a major problem. Of course, it looks in the case of Cuba, the president looks irresolute. All the rest, because we're not doing something about Cuba. I mean, everybody'd like to be back to October. And that's what Baldwin said the other day, or Revere said, to have the fruits of war, which we had without a war. That's what we had in October, and of course everybody loves that. That's what they all like to be doing again. Therefore, when you don't do that, that is regarded as being rather, irresolute. We're not dealing with the cancer. So I just think that if you look at what we're attempting to do in monetary policy, which I think is very important in order to prevent this business cycle from mastering us, which is much more revolutionary than any of you. A year or two ago, you would have thought that a president who, in good times, has a $9 billion deficit and recommends a $10 billion tax cut, you wouldn't believe we could possibly get away with it. Now, we are moving towards success. I don't know if we're going to be so, we're awful close to it. We at least got the conversation started. That is a major accomplishment, in my opinion, because it's the only way to build in sufficient deficits in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years so that we will not run through this 58, 60, 62, 64 cycle. Now, I think that that's it. Then you combine that with the program in education. I agree that our budget is rather misleading. The Republicans are right. It was a rather small expenditure next year. If our education bill ever goes by, it's a major expenditure. The whole field of education, scholarships, PhDs, and all the rest. So I think that the whole field of health, water pollution, oceanography, all the rest. I think that we're trying to do an awful lot. Now, it doesn't have the drama, or it may be that everybody up in New Jersey is upset by one thing or another that we haven't done. But I think
your popularity with the people and getting across through moral suasion the key things that you want to get across.
Well, when you say take advantage of it, what we're trying to do is to fight out with this Congress, given balance, which is here, which is very deceptive. Let's just take the Clay Committee. Now, you, I didn't think much of the Clay Committee report, but the fact of the matter is, when the Clay Committee started, what we were in danger of having was a cut to about $3.3 billion. Now, by going through this rather damning process of the Clay Committee, General Clay the other day came out to $4.3 billion. That is the figure now that we're going to build around by saying that even this impossible group, who looked at it from the hardest viewpoint, finally came at $4.3 billion, and I think we got a good chance to save it. We'll get about, in my opinion, we'll end up as a result of the Clay work about $500 billion more than we would have done. It's not very dramatic. It isn't a flaming fire, but I think that's where we're going to end up. I think the thing is that you, if I may say so, are really saying really what Rockefeller and Keating are saying about Cuba. You don't know what it is you want, but you want something. And I quite agree that I would like to see all these things done. I wish we had a majority where we could set the policy, get by immediately, and then take the results, which is what they have in the British system or any parliamentary system. There's many advantages to that, instead of having to struggle with these things vote by vote. But that's the way we're going to do it, and we're going to have periods where you're not. I think the most important problem is to try to prevent this economy from going down again. And that's what we're trying to do in a major way. The other problem is the question of civil rights. And I couldn't agree with you more that, that this is, as I say, that I'm president of the country, and that's a disastrous picture this morning.
Mr. President, speaking of civil rights, Ms. Tilly and I come from Georgia, and I just want to give you the impression that we have, I believe, that the way we are talking about, and I can't speak to ADA because I've only been at one convention, I think we're speaking of technique of public relations. And down in Georgia and in many places of the country, the newspapers are not pro-Kennedy. So if the people don't get it unless you will give it to them, and you're very well liked when you get on TV in Savannah, and the women like you.
Will not lead us to a point where I can really feel that the agreement is defensible.
Well, anyway, I want to express my appreciation to you all. This is one of the few chances I get to tell my views about a few things. So we appreciate you coming in, and to Jimmy Rosenfeld, and to all of this.
Yeah.
For the fact that you stand for progressive causes and they need some help.